Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud. This perek begins with the famous story of Malkat Sheva, the Queen of Sheba, who had heard about Shlomo's reputation in the name of Hashem. And according to most Parshanim, this means that she had heard about his abundant wisdom, and it was known that his wisdom wasn't natural, but rather divinely given. The Malbim actually suggests that the way Malkat Sheva had heard about Shlomo's wisdom was from his sailors, who had sailed along with Hiram Melech Tzor's sailors on the Yam Suf, which bordered her country, because according to most, Sheva is modern-day Ethiopia, according to some, modern-day Yemen or Sudan, all of which border the Yam Suf. Malkat Sheva came to Yerushalayim with a caravan of camels laden with spices, abundant gold, precious gems. We're told that she came in order to test Shlomo with riddles, but we're not told in the pasuk what the riddles were. However, the Medrash Mishlei supplies us with what Chazal believe were her riddles, and they tell us the content of four different riddles. The first riddle they share is that Malkat Sheva asked Shlomo, "What are seven that leave, nine that enter, two that pour, and one that drinks?" To which Shlomo responds, "Of course, that must be referring to the 7 days of Nida that leave, 9 months of pregnancy that enter, two breasts that pour, and one newborn who drinks." In the second riddle, Malkat Sheva asks, "Who is able to tell her son, 'Your father is my father, your grandfather is my husband, you are my son, and I am your sister?'" To which Shlomo responds, "Of course, that must be referring to the two sons of Lot, whose own daughter slept with him incestuously after Sodom was destroyed, thinking that they were the only humans left in the world, and therefore that this was the only way to repopulate it." In her third riddle, Malkat Sheva brought before Shlomo children of the same height wearing the same clothing and asked, "Separate out the boys and the girls." To which Shlomo responded by asking his servants to bring him nuts and toasted grains. Once they brought him these foods, he threw them towards the children. The boys among them who were less embarrassed caught the nuts and grains with their clothes, but the girls among them who were more embarrassed caught the nuts and grains with their shawls. He pointed out which were the boys and which were the girls based on how they caught the nuts and the grains, to which Malkat Sheva responded, "My son, you are so wise." And finally, in the fourth riddle that Chazal share, Malkat Sheva brought before Shlomo both uncircumcised and circumcised men. And she said to him, "Separate out the circumcised ones from the uncircumcised ones." To which Shlomo responds by asking the Kohen Gadol to open the Aron Habrit. And immediately the circumcised ones among them bent to half their height and their faces filled with the light of the Shechina. The uncircumcised one just fell on their faces. Shlomo immediately responded, "These are the uncircumcised and these are the circumcised." Malkat Sheva says, "How did you know that?" To which Shlomo responded, "I know it from Bilam. As it says, he who sees a vision of God falls and his eyes are opened. If he hadn't fallen, he wouldn't have seen anything. And if you don't want to learn from Bilam, let's learn it from Balak." If we try to identify the main theme that connects all of these riddles, it seems that they're all about the human condition. The process of childbirth, family structure, gender roles, national religious identities. It seems that Malkat Sheva wanted to test Shlomo's wisdom regarding the realm of the world which could most benefit from it, human nature. What's common to almost all of Shlomo's answers is that he answers 3 out of 4 of her questions using Torah values or information in order to express his wisdom. Overall, this Medrash in Mishlei portrays the interaction between Shlomo and Malkat Sheva as very positive. Shlomo answered her riddles humbly. He used the Torah as his guide. He attributed all of his wisdom to Hashem. On the contrary, Rashi portrays their interaction as being pretty negative, full of arrogance and self-centeredness instead of humility and God-centeredness. Rashi comments that Shlomo showed off his knowledge and wealth to Malkat Sheva and then took her for himself in an intimate way. One major consequence of this inappropriate union, according to Rashi, was the ultimate birth of their joint descendant, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, who would ultimately destroy the very Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo himself had built. either way, we understand what ultimately happened between Shlomo and Malkachava. It's clear that the overarching purpose of this story was to demonstrate the fulfillment of Shlomo's dream during his lifetime, of making the Beit HaMikdash and Shem HaShem universal. We know that Malkachava acknowledged the grandeur of Shlomo's kingdom and came to praise Shem HaShem because of it in Pasuk Tet. Following Shlomo's encounter with Malkachava, we're told of three gross violations of mitzvot hamelach, of the commandments to the king, that Shlomo perpetrated during his reign. Two of which are found at the end of this parak. The third one is found in the beginning of the next parak, and we'll discuss them then. But in our parak, in Psukim Yudalit through Chaf Hei, we're told about Shlomo's abundance of gold, which was an explicit violation of the command to the king in Devarim Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'chasef v'zahav lo yarbe lo me'od, and silver and gold he shall not have too much of. In fact, we're told that Shlomo had so much gold that during his reign, ein kesef lo nechshav bimei Shlomo l'me'uma. Silver was considered worthless during the days of Shlomo. Also noteworthy is that one of the sources of Shlomo's wealth was connected to his God-given wisdom. Not only did Malkachava come to seek out Shlomo's wisdom, but we're told that everyone in the known world at the time came to seek his wisdom. And when they did, they brought him gifts. And those gifts were silver, gold, clothing, ammunition, spices, horses, and mules. And we're told that this didn't happen once for each leader, but it happened year in, year out. In Psukim Chaf Vav through Chaf Tet, we're told about Shlomo's abundance of horses, which was an explicit violation of another command given to the king in Devarim Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tet Zayin, in which we're told, Rak lo yarbe lo susim, v'lo yashiv et ha'am mitzrayma, l'man harbot sus. He shall not have too many horses, and he shouldn't return the nation to Mitzrayim in order to have so many horses. As Rav Yoel ben Nun points out in an article that he wrote on Parshat Beshalach, Hashem's warning here to all kings isn't necessarily against returning to Mitzrayim physically, but rather the Torah warned against returning to Mitzrayim mentally, meaning that it's not only a problem for Bnei Yisrael to physically return to Mitzrayim, but it's even a problem for Bnei Yisrael to feel that their king becomes reliant on Mitzrayim, or for the king himself to feel that he needs to rely on Mitzrayim for his or his country's economic success. Because that's what happened leading up to and during Shibud Mitzrayim, the slavery, the enslavement in Mitzrayim. And the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the reason for the Exodus, was specifically to help Bnei Yisrael realize that they shouldn't rely on anyone other than Hashem himself. Even though with their slave mentality they had come to think of themselves as completely dependent on Mitzrayim, the whole process of the Makot, and especially Kriyat Yamsuf, was to cut their ties to the Mitzrayim once and for all, for Bnei Yisrael to realize that they were no longer dependent on Mitzrayim for their life, for their safety, but rather on Hashem. And any king afterwards who tends to go back to Mitzrayim, at least economically, who might think that he is dependent on Mitzrayim, is violating the very reason for why Yetziat Mitzrayim, for why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim in the first place. So unfortunately, even though Shlomo did, of course, believe in Hashem, he interacted too much with Mitzrayim, including marrying their very princess, thereby becoming so entwined with its culture and economy that he ultimately became reliant upon his father-in-law, Paro, from whom he purchased too many horses. Again, a violation of the mitzvah in Sefer Devarim. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.